Welcome. The Lord is good. Doctors also get sick and eventually die. So tonight's topic is very appropriate and well timed. The Lord is good, seeing me through 4 weeks of travel on His business. Tonight's story out of the 2 Kings chapter is about a dreadful disease called leprosy. I dare say almost none of you have seen a case, but it is horrible because leprosy attacks the nerves and the tissues, and parts of the body rot and drop away. Think of the most powerful general of Syria. So powerful is his sword and his weapons of war, but powerless against this horrible bacteria that has attacked his body. The moral from this story is this. Doctors are mere instruments. We go to medical school and learn many techniques and methods, drugs and pharmaceutical products. And today, mind you, the technology has revolutionized medicine totally. Things that are being done today, I know nothing of when I graduated. And by the time I left university, 36 years ago, most of the techniques and technologies used today were unknown. So you see the advance of medical science. But you know, no matter how advanced and how able doctors are, they are powerless against the forces of death. Oh, my friends, when we come to a meeting such as this, we come with hearts and minds prepared to meet our Creator, the giver of life and health, to whom we must resort. Although we go to doctors, always remember, doctors treat, God heals. In the case of Naaman, no medication was required except faith. Faith in the Word of God. Faith in the command of the servant Elisha. Go. God will heal you. But you must have the faith. I grew up in a clinic. Father being a general practitioner. We live upstairs, clinic downstairs. First in Kluang, then in Batu Pahat. So I had no choice but to become a doctor. Father doctor, sister doctor, elder brother doctor. What can I be? Follow. So there you are. Thank God in the year 1962, I was given the opportunity to go to the United States of America, my very first visit. And the visiting professor, excuse my voice, this is the outward man that is perishing, that is vulnerable to the forces of the curse. So I was privileged to go to a place called the Mayo Clinic. I dare say the Mayo Clinic is the most famous clinic in the whole world. Founded by two brothers who are doctors, Dr. William and Dr. Charlie, in the year 1919, in the city of Rochester, Minnesota. So I went there to see. The whole city of Rochester grew because of a clinic. Because the clinic became so famous, so effective, so meaningful. You go to the clinic, you can be confident. You get good treatment and no nonsense. I say this because there are many qualified doctors who practice nonsense. When you go to the Rochester Mayo Clinic, first principle in that clinic is not for profit. It doesn't mean no profit. But the purpose of this whole clinic is not to make money out of people's misery. I hope you get the message. Look at Naaman. Came with maybe millions of dollars. After all, he was a multimillionaire. What does a multimillionaire want to do with millions of dollars when his whole body is rotting and smelling? He was prepared. He had heard of the fame of Elisha. If he will heal me, he can have half my fortune. Very meaningful. But you know, it is a sin to make wealth out of people's misery. Then you say, why do you charge doctors? Answer is, the Lord says, every laborer is worthy of his hire. I have to charge him because I got to live. But I do not have to charge you an arm and a leg because I treated you and healed you. You see? So the first point is not for profit. Profit there is. But that profit will be used for patient care, for education and research. Mayo Clinic not just treats patients, but they use the money, the profit, for medical education, for research, for improved methods of treatment, so that it can be plowed back for the patient's benefit. Point number two, the clinic exists simply because of patients. If there are no patients, why is there to be a need for a clinic? And therefore, the chief focus of a clinic is patient. His interest is paramount. You see, when a patient walks into the clinic, you never know what's in the mind. I have seldom been a patient, but when I became a patient and had to lie down and to be looked at by another doctor, you feel very small. Suddenly you are helpless, and the one who looks down at you almost looks like God, because you know your life is in his hand. If he gives you the wrong injection, you die, you know. So suddenly the whole focus and the perspective is very different. So doctors and nurses must have a correct perspective of patients. Understand them, their concerns, their worries, their anxieties. So many of them come fearful of death. True? Absolutely true. Not too long ago, I had to go for an angiogram. I had heard one of our doctors, one of our very senior lab technicians in the old days in General Hospital, went for an angiogram and he died. Wow! Will I die? So these are the thoughts that go over the mind of a person. Mayo Clinic instills confidence. You will not be maltreated or mistreated. They have, number three, teamwork. Now specialties have become thing of the past. You see, when the Mayo Clinic brothers began the clinic, they said, look, we don't have all the knowledge, but let us call for our colleagues so that together we will study a case, understand the pathology correctly, what is wrong with this patient. Some are good in this area, some in that area. Pull together, two doctors better than one. Now, don't say many cooks spoil the soup. Many doctors make the best treatment because no one can be a specialty in everything. So specialization today has gone way ahead of what I knew. Subspecialization. In the eye, there are four or five different subspecialties just for this little organ called the eye. One is doctor of this part of the eye, another of that part of the eye. Same with gynecology, same with general medicine, and so on. So many subspecialties we can never finish learning. In the Mayo Clinic, teamwork, education, research. Number five, of the profit, a certain amount is reserved to help those who are in need. How important. So I return to what I said just now. It is a sin to wax rich on other people's misery. A doctor should not and never be a doctor who hasn't got a conscience, a heart of compassion to think what that patient needs. So when I started my clinic, 1969, it was like a dream come true. After all, I said, I grew up in a clinic, my father's clinic, my sister's clinic. Now, I said, let me have my clinic. So here it is. Whatever you do, whether clinic or any other business, you must have a principle. There must be guidelines. What are you going to do? Based on what kind of principle? And the first principle that I think is very important is, as you would that man should do to you, do he also to them likewise. If you don't want to be treated in a way that you don't like, do not do it to anyone else. Least of all to the patient. This has been my life verse. Take it, dear friends, for what it is worth. This is the Lord's own saying. Jesus, the Lord says, as you would, as a doctor, what other doctors should do to you, do to them likewise. So this is very important. Second principle, love thy neighbor as thyself. Always put yourself in the place of the other person. And this I do. Supposing I were the patient, how would it be? That makes things very clear. Thou shalt not kill. Today, in some parts of the world, unborn babies are treated like a piece of meat. You don't like that piece of meat? Throw it out. But it happens that piece of meat is you, reproduced with life. And so many people just get rid of it and say, no, thou shalt not kill. There is life there. So abortions are out. Finally, that verse that guides us in all that we do. Whether therefore you eat or drink, whatsoever you do, whether doctor or nurse, dentist, whatever. Do all to the glory of God. That when the day of judgment comes and all is revealed for everybody to see, how will it be? I had a patient come to me, age 7, a young girl of 7. She came from Sabah, only daughter of parents, so precious, and she had problem down below, in passing urine, in having symptoms down below. Went to a pediatrician. You know, as a pediatrician, one who looks after children. And this pediatric physician put her into hospital, did all kinds of fantastic tests. In 3 days, cost her $750. Results? No better. Just the same. So the parent says, take her out. Came into my clinic. I said, what's wrong? All right. Let me examine. Very simple. I can't explain to you because it is gynecology. But simply, with a lotion and an ointment and everything costs $100, she was well. You see, as I said, there are practitioners qualified who practice nonsense. It is very difficult, very shameful to tell you. It exists. Highly educated individuals called doctors. Now this is a principle I employ. I have learned to use some of these SMS messages. To save space, you know. If I say, check before you, wow, it's too long. Check before you treat. Every patient, as I said, I put myself in place of the patient. What do I want the doctor to do for me? First I ask myself, is it necessary? You know, when you use a knife to cut, your fee goes up. Wow, it's good, isn't it? So, the father had 3 sons. What shall we do with the sons? This one looks very bright. Make him a doctor. This one talks a lot. Make him a lawyer. This third one, neither bright nor talk. Make him a pastor. Dear friends, always ask yourself, if you are a doctor here, is it necessary to do what I'm going to do? The patient is completely at your mercy. Every patient comes in, will listen to what you say. Number 2, do I want the treatment myself if I were the patient? That is the crunch. You've got to ask yourself, in all honesty, that's why I say, no one should become a doctor who hasn't got a good conscience. Have a good conscience. Number 3, is it compassionate? In other words, do you have a pity on the patient? To feel for the patient? Finally, is it the best? It may be necessary. It may be the thing I want to do it for myself. I don't mind it. It is compassionate, but is it the best? You see, as I said, nobody knows everything. And if in the particular treatment, someone else can do it better, and I know my own shortcoming, what must I do? Answer, refer. Send the patient to someone else. Don't say, money God. Conscience, friends, conscience. Money gone is nothing compared to wrong treatment. Then, please understand, in all that we do, no matter how well you treat, no matter how good a clinic like Mayo's The bottom line is, life is short. You cannot prolong life beyond a certain limit. Doctors' powers are limited, highly limited. And death is sure. Then you say, what is the cause of all this? You see, in clinical medicine, we are all taught, in a disease, find the cause. Treat the cause, not the symptom. I have a cough. You know, when I was in Vancouver, I caught the germ in Toronto. As I flew to Vancouver, on the way, I lost my voice. When I arrived in Vancouver, everybody has got something good for me. Out of the purse, out of the pocket, they go, this one is good. What is it? Oh, fisherman's friend. Very good. Another one comes, horse. Another says, Vicks. Another has Strepsil. Everything. When I finished, 9 doctors treating me. Wow. Find the cause. What is the cause of this? All right, and treat the cause. Don't take 9 medicines. Sin is the cause. Oh, dear friends, no amount of clinics and good doctors can answer your ultimate request. Doctor, give me another 6 months of life. So it is. Multi-millionaire, billionaire, lying there with tubes in out of every part of his body like a Christmas tree. Doctor, I give you half my fortune. Give me 6 more months of life. Doctor is not God. Sin is cause. And as I said, we in the clinic are taught, find the cause, treat it. Patient will be well. So, I say, hey, what's the cause of all this sickness? Sin. The whole human race is fallen under sin. Before sin came, the Word of God says, and the Lord God saw that all that He had created, it was very good. Everyone was in perfect health, and death was nowhere on the scene. Until the serpent came, until Adam and Eve sinned, then came in death due to sin. What is the cure? Dear friends, Christ the cure. We will go into that in a minute. So before I get up there, I give you the last OHP. While running a clinic was part of my ambition, the real first love was to go out and win souls for the Lord Jesus Christ. To use the clinic as a vehicle, an instrument for the saving of souls. To use the clinic every day to witness to 30, 40 patients is not possible. So I have tracts, many kinds of tracts, besides medical tracts. Gospel tracts, medical tracts, health education tracts, take your pick. When time permits, there will be opportunity to speak to some patient. For some going for operation where opportune, I pray with them and they appreciate. Sometimes there is opportunity to visit. Not often, but out of that visit, opportunities to share the gospel. To tell the children in the house, hey, you got so many children. Do they go to Sunday school? No? I say, how about it? Your house is on the way to my church. I come on Sunday and pick it to church. Agreed. So taking them to church, children of my patient, today one is completely saved in America. Another is our elder in London. All because you took the trouble to say, hey, why you go to Sunday school? Follow me. The Christian answer to disease and death is missions, gospel. And I say, dear friends, keep this in mind as we think of Clinic with a Difference. Please turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, where the Apostle Paul pinpoints the problem for us. You have no escape, neither do I. You and I are in the same boat, that we are all under the curse. Verse 18 of Romans 8. I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I will paraphrase, you follow me again. I reckon that the sickness and the weakness of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the healing which shall be revealed in us. Where does that healing come from, you say? When will we be healed? How will we be healed? Answer, the gospel. Jesus Christ died for you and me on the cross. There he conquered death and all the accompaniments of death, all the preludes to death were conquered, including your sore throat, your backache, your degeneration, your heart block, everything. When the Lord returns, your faith today in him will be rewarded. So I say, dear friends, serve the Savior, follow him. Verse 19, for the earnest expectation of us, the creature, waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. The manifestation of the sons of God means today it does not appear what it shall be. You fall sick, I fall sick. No different from the unbelievers, right? But in the Lord Jesus Christ, the manifestation of the sons of God will be revealed when the Lord Jesus returns. All sicknesses will be removed once and for all. The dead in Christ shall rise. You and I will be transformed, changed, given a beautiful, immortal, incorruptible body, like unto his glorious body. He will give it to you. That is, verse 19, the manifestation of the sons of God. Verse 21, because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption, that's right, all of us, some even before tomorrow, may fall sick, before very long fall very sick, before very long may die. This is part of the human experience. You cannot avoid it. Why? Because under sin and the curse, we are under the bondage of corruption. You cannot escape it in this life. But there is an escape coming. The manifestation of the sons of God. The work and the wonderful accomplished work of Christ on Calvary's cross will pay you the road, those rich dividends for your faith in Him. Verse 21. The creature read, we, the believers, shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Verse 22. For we know. This is knowledge. This is absolute confidence. So I read again. We know that the whole creation groans today, travails in pain because of all the problems of this life in every aspect. In the context of tonight, we groan because of this perishing mortal body that is not immune to every disease. So we all travail in pain until now. Verse 23, not only they, but we ourselves, which have the first fruits of the Spirit. What does this mean? Yes, because you have come to the Lord Jesus Christ. You have put your trust in Him. There is the indwelling Holy Spirit in you. This is the first fruits. The earnest of the Holy Spirit in you tells you, you are a child of God. You have eternal life to come. Today, though your outward man perish, you get sick. There are degenerative processes, aging, all this you cannot avoid. But good news, even though we groan within ourselves, we wait for the adoption. That is, the redemption of our body will come, dear friends. Praise be unto the Lord our God, who sent His only Son to the cross for us. And there He conquered death, defeated disease processes and death altogether in one great act of redemption for you and me. Trust therefore in Him. Look to Him, dear friends, and the day will come. The day will come. 1 Corinthians 15, as we conclude, 1 Corinthians 15, that wonderful chapter. To all those who are sick or afraid of death, wondering what will happen, the apostle says in verse 51, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed. I can say this. We shall not all get those horrible sicknesses and then die from them. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Why? There is promise of something most wonderful. Those of you who are grieving over a departed loved one in Christ, missing somebody so special, so sad because of their departure, the Apostle Paul says, don't be sad. Verse 52, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. All those in Christ Jesus who have died from whatever cause, cancer, heart attack, degenerative processes, Alzheimer's, all kinds of things, what does it matter? On that day, all that the Lord has won for you and for me on Calvary's cross will be manifested in one great deliverance. What deliverance? Read on, please, the last part. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and you and I will be changed. Therein is the answer to your fear of sickness, of aging, of degeneration, of death. All settled So what must we do? Verse 55. Look death in the face. Don't be afraid of death. I go to sleep every night, thanking God for good sleep. By the way, after 3 days, I've recovered totally from my jet lag. How come? It is God who gives you the good sleep. You pray, Lord, please give me good sleep. When God comes, the Lord Jesus Christ, when comes, He gives you that final victory over death. So that today, now, you can look death in the face and say, verse 55, Oh death, where is your sting? Oh grave, where is your victory? Who is afraid of death in Christ? There's no need to. Dear friends, go home tonight and thank God. In Christ there is no fear of death. No fear of the grave. The grave is just a bed. Death is just a closing of the eyes in sleep. And then we all wait for that last trumpet of God, which will sound. Until then, what must you do? Go and tell that others may come to believe and find hope in the living Christ our Savior, in whose name we preach and tell the gospel story. As I said, the answer to all our problems is this. Gospel missions. And missions begins with you. Begin with me. Go and tell that others may believe and be saved from that sting of death. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, grant that we may all understand the real issues. That sickness and death are part of this scene and part of human experience. O Lord our God, speak to someone who is still unsure. That tonight the Word of God may come with double power, with complete assurance that in Jesus Christ we have complete, total victory over death and over the grave. Lord, help us that we will go forth to be thy servants and laborers together with God, to labor while it is yet day. For the night cometh when no man can work. Bless your people. Thank thee for those who came. Bless all. And make us to be good missionaries to go and tell the story and bring them in next week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.